Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I wanted to speak to Dr. Mordechai Kadar. Firstly, love talking to this man. And he's a former IDF intelligence officer and want to find out more about the Houthis. And are they a serious threat to Israel? Good morning, Dr. Kadar. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. How are you?
Yes, same answer. Baruch Hashem. We live, right? We live. We move forward. Dr. Kadar, yeah. Are the Houthis a serious threat to Israel? Are there any threat to Israel?
Well, when you look at the map
yes.
around Israel, you can see a giant Arab world and around it a giant Islamic world. And the number of people who love Israel in these two environments is very little. Actually, people are rather hostile against Israel. And you know what? Between you and me, between you and me, the fact that Israel exists for 76 years already, in my humble view, it is a miracle.
Nothing short of a miracle. So let's just talk about the Houthis. So on, when was it? Was it yesterday? On Shabbos? I think it was yesterday. That this ballistic missile was fired into central Israel by the Houthis. Yeah. Firstly, is that a surprise? Do you think that that was a surprise for Israeli intelligence that they had the capabilities of doing that?
Yeah. No. We are seeing what the Houthis in Yemen are launching against Saudi Arabia. They did it for many years, and they actually devastated Saudi Arabia. They do it today, their activity against the traffic of the ships in the seas, like pirates. And this is not the first attempt to target Israel. Unfortunately, the defenses did not succeed to blow this missile all up. They hurt him, but they didn't dismantle him. And it succeeded to come to near the center here of Israel. But thank goodness it didn't create any significant damage. We live on miracles, but you know, in the Middle East, miracles are part of reality.
Why is Israel tolerating this from the Houthis?
No, we don't tolerate it. We actually hit the Houthis a couple of months ago when they tried to attack Tel Aviv. We burned half of the city of Hudaydah, the harbor and facilities near the harbor. So, they are vulnerable. The problem is that they don't care because from their point of view, they don't mind if Israel destroys their country, because this is how they think, unfortunately, in Yemen, and this is why Yemen looks like it.
Yeah, you know what? The problem is that where you have economic conditions, where people have nothing to lose, that's the most dangerous kind of person to deal with. Because when you have nothing to lose...
It's not only they don't have what to lose, they don't care about any, you know, they don't think like Westerners. We, as Westerners, we want a stable life. We want a good economy. We want development. We want good health. We want good, economy and everything. You know, the coronavirus, which hit the world in 2020, it didn't affect Yemen. Why? Yemen was suffering for years from typhoid and from cholera.
And famine.
Which is way much more dangerous than the COVID.
Right.
So they didn't care about the COVID because they were inflicted with cholera and typhoid. So this is Yemen.
So, I mean, when you say something like that, I mean, I just think all mothers love their children. All mothers, whether you are Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist, or whether you're South African or Israeli or Yemenite or, you know, or Yemeni, all mothers love their children. How can it be that we can think that another nation just doesn't care?
Well, in the Islamic creed, we have the world has a problem because they think that the afterlife will be much better than life itself. That if you die, you go to heaven and you enjoy all the goodies of heaven. And definitely every mother wants her son to be married to 72 virgins, which is way much better than only one wife in this world. So, and this is the ideology, this is what they believe. And unfortunately, those jihadists, I'm not generalizing all the Muslims, not at all. But what I'm saying is that the jihadists think or believe that the afterlife will be much better than this world. Therefore, nothing really happened if somebody gets killed. On the contrary, his situation will be much better when he goes to heaven.
Dr. Kedar, don't we also believe that? As Jews, don't we also believe that the afterlife? So we do mitzvot now because there are some mitzvot and some things that are intact for us in this life. But we also do it because of Olam Haba, the world to come. Don't we also believe in
yes,
that?
Yes, but we are not hasting to go there. We are not hurrying up to go there. We still want to live the world as it is. And when day comes, we depart the world and we go to the world. But it doesn't mean that we blow ourselves today in order to achieve our seat in heaven today rather than tomorrow.
I hear it. Okay, once I've got you on the line, I have to ask you, because I've been asking other guests and I haven't really found a satisfactory answer. We know, and I know that if I say to you, who's the number one funder of global terrorism, you're going to say?
I didn't hear the question.
Which country is the number one funder of global terrorism?
First of all, Iran.
Okay. So that's what everybody says, right? And that's what we hear.
Iran spreads terrorism in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Gaza, inside Israel, inside Judea and Samaria. They send weapons, ammunition, equipment, explosives to all these places. And for them, Arabs and Jews could kill itself, could kill themselves as much as they like, as long as the Iranian interests are being promoted by these wars. This is the first thing. Second thing, they send terrorism to the West. They spread terrorism in Europe, in America. They were caught several times trying to spread terror also in America. And they are actually, they think that they are working according to the orders of Allah, because this is how they what they believe, that they are messengers of Allah in order to spread jihad all over the world in order to devastate the world. Unfortunately, they have all kinds of supporters in the Arab world and out of the Arab world, in Africa as well, unfortunately. Because they get money from them or from Qatar, because don't forget that Qatar is their ally and partner in spreading terrorism all over the world through the organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood, which Qatar supports wholeheartedly. And this is actually the coalition of wicked people in Iran and in Qatar who sponsor and spread terrorism all over the world.
So how do they do that? I've been seeing a lot of reports for the last year or so, probably longer, saying that Iran is actually bankrupt. They have no money. Their government has no money. Their people are suffering. How do they spread terrorism?
It's not secret. You know, when you have an embassy, an embassy can bring in whatever they like from the country without any checking in the customs, because this is a diplomatic cargo. Iran sends heavy cargoes to their embassies all over the world constantly, and nobody checks them because it is defined as a diplomatic pouch or diplomatic cargo. So in the diplomatic cargoes, which they send all over the world, there are weapons, there are explosives, there are munitions, and there are everything which they want to send around. And thanks to the international law, they can do it without being caught by any local authorities.
Dr. Kedar, one of our listeners is saying, Kathy, Iran has to be equated to the United States as the largest sponsor of state terrorism, and that's from Faisal. And, you know, is it a matter of just perspective, Dr. Kedar?
Yeah, look, the world has to wake up to see the reality. The world has this, I'm talking about the civilized world, because they export the jihad and the revolution, as they call it, and this is their ideology. It's not somebody decided. This is the most basic ideology of the Iranian regime, to export the jihad, export the revolution, which is the same thing. And they, not only this, also inside Iran, they oppress anyone who doesn't agree with them. They hang up people with cranes in the street. They kill women who don't go around with them appropriately covered on their hair. And this is a regime which, in my humble view, the world, the civilized world, should have been fighting against, rather than letting it flourish as it is for almost 45 years.
And Dr. Kedar, that is where we leave it. It is always such a pleasure to speak to you and just get your insights. Thank you so much for just being so generous with your knowledge. We are smarter
Thank you so much, like you.
Thank you.
Day.
You too. That is Dr. Mordechai Kedar. Isn't he brilliant? He's a former IDF intelligence officer.